Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the ages past, God designed a plan of redemption for a mankind he knew would rebel against him. That intricate plan was worked out over thousands of years, culminating in the sacrifice of Jesus on a Roman cross. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Today we're learning that every believer was part of God's redemptive purpose from the very beginning.
We were in God's mind as long as God existed. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 teaches the same thing. The mercy of God and the grace of God and the salvation of God given to us from all of eternity. Wow. And then that surprising verse in the 13th chapter of Revelation, speaking of the beast, it says, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life from before the foundation of the world." Do you realize that redemption is the heart of who God is? It wasn't an afterthought. The world was created for Calvary. Now you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what about those who aren't chosen? Well, the good answer is this, that the Bible does give an invitation to everyone. It does say, whosoever will. Listen to me carefully. If you're worried about whether or not you are chosen, just to think you can find out. And you can find out by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and proving that you are. There's no such thing as somebody who would like to believe but can't because he isn't chosen. The fact that you desire belief shows the powerful work of God in your hearts. And I invite you as sinners, whether you're listening on the internet or by radio or other means, to receive Christ as your Savior even while I am speaking. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God gets glory because of what he planned in ages past, using all of his knowledge, using all of his wisdom, and he planned redemption that we might not only see his power, but his mercy and his love. So God, first of all, gets glory by what he planned. Secondly, God gets glory by what he did. And here we're thinking specifically of what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. You see, here was the dilemma. On the one hand, you have God, whose glory is unmistakable and great. His glory is beyond our ability to conceive it. Trajan, the emperor, said to a Christian, "You say your God exists everywhere. Let me see him." And the Christian wisely said, "Before you can see him, you have to look upon all of his creation." And Trajan said, "All right, I will." And the Christian said, "I want you to stare at the sun." And the emperor knew that he couldn't do that. And then the Christian says, "If you cannot even stare at all of God's creation, this sun, how will you expect to stare upon the Creator if you cannot even look upon one of his creation?" The glory of God is magnificent and beyond all that we can ever comprehend. Now, here's the dilemma. On the one hand, God has glory. On the other hand, his mercy wants to save sinners. So the question is, how is that going to be done? Remember what sin is. All of us, the Bible says, have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. That's the problem. Sin is opposed to the glory of God. So God instituted a plan. God said, on the one hand, I want to redeem. Mercy wants to redeem, but it cannot redeem until justice and glory are satisfied. Jesus came to relieve that tension between two of God's attributes. On the one hand, Jesus would indeed meet all of God's requirements for justice and for glory. He would take the penalty so that God can set aside sin, and even though we come short of the glory of God, we can experience that glory, and we'll do so forever, which is another story. And God can show mercy to sinners, even great sinners. God can redeem. And so the Lord, through Jesus Christ, shows us what can happen because of God's redemption. It was God's finest moment. You say, well, did God take delight in the death of his son? The answer is yes. Isaiah chapter 53 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says that the death of Jesus Christ was a sweet aroma to God. You say, well, how can God delight in evil? Another excellent question. Thank you so much for thinking it and for asking it. I can actually just read your minds here. How can God delight in evil? The fact is that God does not delight in evil for evil's sake. He does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not take delight in the little boy that was killed here in Chicago, the 2-year-old who was abused to the point of death that I heard on the news yesterday. God takes no delight in that. God understands that he is hot in his anger against all sin and evil. But if you can think about it, when God sees the ultimate purposes to which everything flows, when he sees eternity and not just time, God is delighted with what is happening in his world. We don't understand that, exactly what sense God can look at the big picture and take delight in it. Certainly one delight to God was that this little boy would arrive in heaven, and where he will be taken care of in a wonderful family that will accept him and show him love. And then, of course, there is the justice that will be due the perpetrator. And so God does not delight in evil as such. But when God looked at the death of Jesus, though he did not delight in the evil that was done by wicked men, he saw the big picture, and that's what gave him the delight, the delight. It's an inadequate example, to be sure. But maybe it's a little bit like taking delight in surgery. It's painful. It hurts. You don't want to have it happen, but you choose to because you know that some good will come as a result of it. And so there is God doing what God needs to do, and the world was created so that redemption might explain and highlight the glory of God. The book of Ephesians is very clear about this. God says that he chose the church that throughout all ages the church might show the wisdom of God, and we might add, and the glory of God. That's what it's all coming to. Well, God is glorified by what he planned. He's glorified by what he did in Christ. He's also glorified by what he now does. I told you that we would eventually come into the picture. And for this, I do want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 965. If you have a Bible that is provided there for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 965. I wish I could take more time to paint the context, but I'm going to simply begin in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice this breathtaking passage. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is now the application of what Jesus did on the cross. The God who said, let light shine out of darkness. Follow carefully. The God who created. And here you have darkness over the face of the deep, it says in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That God is the same God who redeems, who shines the light of the glory of Christ into people's souls. Because if he doesn't speak, there would be no resolution to the darkness of creation. If he doesn't speak, there's no resolution to the darkness within the human heart. The Bible here speaks of darkness within the heart that needs to be dissipated, and only God can do it. Think for a moment of what it's like to walk in darkness. First of all, it affects your values. When you pick up a stone, you don't know in darkness whether it's a stone or it might be a piece of gold or maybe it's some coal with diamonds. You can't tell the difference when you're walking in darkness. And some of you know what that's like. You keep stumbling over the same thing because it not only affects your values, it affects where you are going because you have no idea as to where you're going. Was it not Alice in Wonderland that told us that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there? And so your whole life is bound up with this problem of what the meaning of life is all about. Darkness also means a selective memory. How do I know that? Look at what the text says. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Wow. This is Pastor Lutzer. I remember when I was in Bible college and I was reading and studying the book of Colossians, and I came across that remarkable verse in the first chapter that God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm so glad that you have joined us for this series of messages titled, Nothing Else Matters. And now we are speaking about the glory of God in our witness, in the way in which we represent him to the world. Because what we need to understand is that we hold in our hands and in our hearts a message of transformation. Yes, indeed, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. But when people look at us, when they hear us talk winsomely, lovingly, non-judgmentally, they should be attracted to the one who redeemed us. So if you're walking in the light today, continue to walk in the light and encourage others to come to the light. If you're in darkness, turn to Christ. Receive him as your Savior today, and you'll discover that light will come to your soul. Thanks for joining us. See you next time right here on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer with more of God's glory in our witness. The third in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, more on the light of the gospel. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.